you get an extension, and you get an extension, and you get an extension. Everybody gets an extension. Yes, welcome into another episode of First Pitch, your daily source of news, notes, and updates on all things Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Troy Brock. You can find me on Twitter at Troy B Baseball. He's Drew Crabtree. You can follow him on the X Machine at Drew Crabtree 12. And Drew, we're going to get to all of the extensions that have happened so far since the beginning of spring training. We're gonna talk a little bit about all of them, and that's going to be most of our day. We're going to run down the games from yesterday. We're going to look ahead to all of the just massive influx of five games that we have today. And that's going to be our show today. But if you're watching on YouTube, drop a subscribe, hit that notification icon. If you're listening on audio, leave a five-star rating, share it with your friends, send them to firstpitchpodcast.com so they can get all of their daily source of news, notes, and updates on Major League Baseball. And check out the First Pitch Podcast newsletter. I will leave the link in the description. In today's issue, I talked about Rafael Devers finally getting a hit. I talked about the Milwaukee Brewers playing to their strength as a team built for small ball. And I talked about Jack Leiter's strong start to the year, holding the Reds scoreless in his second start of the season. So make sure you go check that out and subscribe there. It is free, but we do appreciate any paid subscriptions as it helps keep the bills on around here. But how you doing this morning, Drew?
There were some fun storms last night, so we stayed up to make sure that we were not in the path of the worst of it. But other than that, you know, the Reds still make me sad. We have a big four-game set up in Milwaukee. So it's either we're going to have a lot of optimism, it's going to be more of the same, or is it Bengals season?
Who day indeed. But yeah, as you pointed out, the Reds and Brewers do start their series today, and they are both 2-4 going into the series, and that should be an exciting series. I am looking forward to that series as someone who's not a fan of either team. It is on paper, it's gearing up to be a fun series between those two teams throughout the year. And, you know, we had a bunch of fun games yesterday between some teams good and some teams bad, and it's just been a heck of a season so far, and there's so much more to go. So it's still way too early to write off any team just yet, no matter how many games they have not won. And, you know, it's a 162 game season for a reason, and seven games doesn't mean anything, even if you haven't won a single one yet. But the Rangers and Reds, as we've already talked about a little bit, the Rangers beat the Reds yesterday, 1-0. Jack Leiter versus Hunter Green. Hunter Green deserves better as the bad luck loser, only allowing one run over seven innings, and it was a fantastic outing from both starters. Good pitching matchup there. And Drew, you pointed out to me before we went live this morning, that was the first time ever that the Reds have been shut out in 1-0 ball games at Great American Small Park
in back-to-back games since 1907.
Wow.
And that was all after putting up 14 runs on Monday. They outscored the Rangers by aggregate 14-5 and lost the series 2-1. It was incredibly frustrating. The bats were so cold the last 2 days. Legitimately, the hardest hit ball yesterday was 107.2 exit velo off of Ellie De La Cruz's bat. And it was a ground out in the ninth inning. It was the last, I think that was actually the last out of the game. It's just, Jack Leiter is a dog, as was Nathan Eovaldi, but goodness gracious, the Reds need to figure something out outside of relying on Ellie De La Cruz and Matt McClain to save them. Because Matt McClain struck out 3 times last night. They're not going to have 2 home runs per game all year. It'd be awesome, but that's probably not how the season's going to go, because that's how baseball works. So, you know, with the Brewers coming up, and that's a team that has had the Reds' number recently, they need to figure it out. Jack Leiter, special. Dude's going to be good, just like his dad owning the Reds.
Yeah, I'm very high on Jack Leiter. I don't know if I've made that very clear yet or not, but I'm very high on Jack Leiter and his future. Question I thought of, is Ellie using a torpedo bat?
He was, yeah. He's using that torpedo bat, and it's the ball's jumping off of his bat. It's just the last couple of days, if they're not in the seats, they're into gloves.
Yeah.
He had two hardest hit balls last night, 107.2, 106.7 exit velo, and one was a ground out. The other one was a double that he destroyed. He's doing it. Ellie's still being Ellie. And then in the field, I don't know if you saw it, but he tracked down a foul ball from a shifted shortstop position. He's closer to the middle of the field. He ran 119 feet to track down a foul ball and made a fighting play. Like, he's special. He's electric. He is a dog, and it's going to suck when the Reds trade him away in 4 or 5 years. The rest of the lineup just needs to wake up. Jake Fraley is not looking like a major league hitter. Spencer Steger is obviously hurt. Jose Trevino is a good defensive catcher. You know, I can go through the entire lineup. It's just they're going to need to wake up because they can't afford another, 8-19 start or whatever it is that they continue to get through David Bell. They can't afford to do that, even in a week in El Central.
Yeah, no, the offense definitely needs to wake up. As I said, Hunter Green deserves better. And another real quick thing I did want to point out before we move on to the rest of the games on the slate from yesterday, you and I on our baseball podcast here are both rocking NFL merchandise. You with your Bengals hat and me with a Creed Greatest Halftime Show Ever shirt. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see Scott Stapp right there in his Cowboys jersey from Beautiful. The Greatest Halftime Show Ever. Back to baseball. The Pirates and the Rays, they played baseball yesterday. Paul Skeens and Ryan Pepiot, the pitchers lived up to expectations while the Rays did not. Paul Skeens had a fantastic outing, as you expect Paul Skeens to do, but he only had 6 strikeouts in 7 innings. Is he declining? Is he washed? Is Paul Skeens, is the Paul Skeens hype over with 6 strikeouts in 7 innings?
God, I hope so, but no. He's still a very, very good pitcher. He's still an elite pitcher. I'm still going to be interested to see how he holds up for an entire season's worth. But no, Paul Skeens is still very good at throwing baseballs.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You are right about that. Brewers and the Royals went to extras, 11 innings. The Brewers won with some small ball to get the walk-off victory out there at their ballpark. And I did write about that in the newsletter today. Angels and Cardinals. Cardinals took to the Angels 12-5. The Cardinals are 4-2. Or is everybody wrong about the Cardinals, or is this just some early season craziness going on?
Small sample size.
Exactly. The Twins.
The Angels.
Yes, you're absolutely right. Well, you're absolutely right. But in that small sample size, they're also 4-2. And their second loss came in yesterday's game. No, you're right. The Angels are bad. They're not going to finish above 500. Cardinals have no reason to either. Twins and White Sox. Twins beat the White Sox 6-1 yesterday. Their offense finally started to get going in that matchup. Nationals and Blue Jays. Mackenzie Gore proved that it was just the shadows, as he only struck out. Let me pull that up right quick. I did kind of touch on that in the notables from yesterday for the newsletter. He only struck out 5 in 5 innings after striking out 13 on opening day against the Philadelphia Phillies. And the Blue Jays are not as good as the Philadelphia Phillies. So it was just the shadows on opening day, and the Blue Jays won that one 4-2. The Cubs continued to just score a ton of runs. They put up 10 against the Athletics over there in the minor league ballpark in Sacramento, 10-2 final in that game. The Guardians dropped another one, meaning that the Padres are still undefeated and 7-0. The Padres win 5-2. Dylan Cease had a masterful showing in that game after a rough outing in his first start. And speaking of rough outings, Detroit Tigers lose to the Mariners 3-2. And Tariq Skubal is 0-2. Is he washed? Is he over? Was last year a flash in the pan? What are we looking at here with Tariq Skubal?
Win-loss records for pitchers don't exist.
My man.
They do not matter. Tariq Skubal is still a great pitcher. It's just you know, they didn't give him much run support, you know, just like every other really good pitcher out there, unfortunately. No, Tarik Skubal's fine.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. It's early season. I will point out, you know, there are crazy stats in baseball that happen, and they're fun to look at. And most of them don't really mean anything of crazy happenings, like the Atlanta Braves being the first team are being 0-7, and no team has ever made the playoffs when they've started a year 0-7. That doesn't mean anything. It's just something crazy that's happened in baseball. But Tarik Skubal does have two losses. He's 0-2 on the year, and he did not record his first loss last year until the middle of May, his 11th start. He's 0-2 through his first two starts. Again, wins and losses, I'm with Drew. For pitchers, they don't mean much in this day and age, but it's still crazy and fun to look at. And the San Francisco Giants completed the sweep over the Houston Astros, 6-3 victory in yesterday's ballgame. Framber Valdez did not look great. The Miami Marlins lost in extras to the New York Mets, a 6-5 ball game there. Clay Holmes, once again, his ERA might look good on the surface, but under the surface, it's not great. He's walked a lot of guys. He's given up a lot of hits. He has failed to get out of the fifth inning in both of his starts to this point. And, you know, so far it has not looked great for Clay Holmes transitioning to a starter from a reliever. The Red Sox shut out the Orioles and won 3-0. Garrett Crochet's first start since his extension. We'll talk a little bit more about him a little bit later on. But Rafael Devers also got his first two hits of the year, and he did not strike out in yesterday's ball game. And one of those hits was a double. So Rafael Devers is off the schneid, as some would say now. And the Philadelphia Phillies won the series against the Colorado Rockies today with one chance for the sweep, but it won't happen because Taijuan Walker is starting later. And Zach Wheeler is still the best pitcher in Major League Baseball and proved it yet again yesterday. The Diamondbacks beat the Yankees 4-3. Zach Gallen was another pitcher that just had a fantastic showing yesterday. 13 strikeouts, 3 hits, no walks, over 6 2/3 against the New York Yankees. And Drew, anything about any of these other games that we ran through? Any thoughts on those before we move on to the extensions?
Probably not. You kind of hit on it really good. You know, the Padres starting off really hot is really interesting, especially considering the fact that they and the Dodgers are both undefeated at the top of the NL West. That's going to be a lot of fun to watch because I expected them to be good. I don't know if I expected them 7-0 good. The Dodgers, on the other hand, yeah, fine. They spent $370 billion on their payroll, and they're all paying them $1 just like Shohei. But no, that you did a good rundown. It was a fun Wednesday afternoon, evening of baseball with a lot of getaway games. And then with our small sample today, it's gonna be fun.
Yes, it is. It's not many games on today. We'll get to them a little bit later in the show, but there are not many games, but it is still a fun slate. And there are day games today, and I love any day with day baseball games because it means we get to watch baseball all day long. But we are going to jump into these contract extensions that have happened since the beginning of spring training. There have been 9 notable ones. 3 of them came yesterday. And, you know, we talked about a little bit about Jackson Merrill at the end of yesterday's show because that one broke before we stopped recording. And so we talked a little bit about that. He is one of the players to get an extension, a 9-year extension through 2034. Earlier in the year, Tanner Bibee got a 5-year extension through 2029, starter for the Cleveland Guardians. Lawrence Butler got an extension with the Sacramento Athletics, 7-year extension through 2031. Christian Campbell, one of the players to get an extension yesterday, 8-year extension through 2032. Garrett Crochet a couple of days ago, 6-year extension through 2031. Ketel Marte, a 6-year extension through 2030, one of the players to get one. It was more of a restructuring of his contract, not a full extension of 6 years. So this tweet that I'm looking at, it kind of has it worded wrong. But he was one of the players to get at least a little bit of an extension yesterday. Justin Martinez, a 5-year extension through 2029, also of the Diamondbacks. Brandon Pfaadt, also of the Diamondbacks, 5-year extension through 2030. I think that was last week. And then also last week, Cal Raleigh, Big Dumper, a 6-year extension through 2030. A few young guys here in Tanner Bibee, Christian Campbell, Lawrence Butler, Jackson Merrill, getting extensions early in their careers. Jackson Merrill probably and Lawrence Butler a little bit later than Christian Campbell and Tanner Bibee. But the big one from yesterday was, of course, the Christian Campbell. Is this a good extension for the Red Sox? Is it too early to know if it's going to be worth it for the team? Or how do you feel about this extension of Christian Campbell?
These super, super duper early extensions are going to make a team look incredibly stupid or the smartest person in the room, because Christian Campbell has done nothing in Major League Baseball. It's honestly incredible that they gave him this extension. Now, if it works out for him, awesome. But he's been in Major League Baseball so little that he doesn't even have a 2025 line for his stats. They have his 2025 spring training on Baseball Reference. He's played in six games. I hope it works. I really do. He's already amassed, 0.6 WAR for the Sox. Slashing 400, 500, 750. Obviously, a six-game sample size is minuscule. I hope it works for him, because taking a swing this early is, if it works out, incredibly smart for the team, because if he's as good as they expect him to be, he's going to be a little bit more expensive when you actually have to extend him, which is obviously the issue with, Reds fans saying they should have locked Ellie De La Cruz down as soon as they knew he was good, because now he's going to command a whole lot of money in a few years, which is also why I'm saying that they need to lock down Matt McClain as soon as possible. That one's going to be the Christian Campbell extension is going to be the one that I'll look at, because that's risky. Now, the Jackson Merrill extension, like we said yesterday, I think is that's some smart money. Jackson Merrill is very good at baseball. And that extension, I think, is probably going to look very, very smart when it's all said and done.
I'm pretty much right there with you. It's to Christian Campbell's credit, you did point out his triple slash line, and it's been fantastic over the first six games of his major league career, and he's accounted for generally 0.1 B WAR each game. But as you also pointed out, it is a very small sample size to this point. He does lead the American League with four doubles, and he's also walked four times while only striking out five, but it is a small sample size. I don't think he can keep this pace up. I mean, obviously he can't keep this pace up. That would be insane, but no player can keep this pace up over a full season. But I do personally think he will be good throughout his career. Just because of what he's done throughout the minors. And, he was a fourth round pick for the Red Sox in the 2023 draft. So, he sped through the minors and really until Kyle Teal was traded last year, you didn't really hear much about Christian Campbell if you were not geared in on the Boston Red Sox. If you were not part of that fan base, all you heard about was Roman Anthony, Marcelo Meyer, and Kyle Teal, and then Christian Campbell. For those outside of the Boston Red Sox circle, he just kind of came out of nowhere, and he could be, it's early still, but he could be the second baseman that the Boston Red Sox have needed since Dustin Pedroia retired. And that's saying a lot, but he could very well be that second baseman, because they've had a revolving door at that position since Dustin Pedroia retired after 2018. And it's been just atrociously bad for them. And he could finally end that stretch. And, you touched on the Jackson Merrill extension, and we talked about it yesterday after he signed, and in the game last night after he signed the extension, he went 2-for-4 with a home run, 2 RBI. And it's insane what Jackson Merrill has done. He's had a much larger sample size than Christian Christian Campbell, he's had 163 games of a sample size, and it is easier to believe that he can keep up what he's done over the past year plus, more so than Christian Campbell can keep up what he's done over the past week. But another second baseman in that list of players that got extensions and contract restructurings, and I'm going to ruffle a lot of feathers with this one because I personally don't understand it, but that's Ketel Marte. You know, he got that contract restructuring plus extension. He is now signed through 2030. And what am I missing here on this one, Drew? I know that he's highly popular, and I I don't know if I've made it clear or not. I'm a guy that if a player is popular and not as good as their popularity, I don't really care that much about that player. Looking at you, Randy Arozarena and Luis Arraez and Jazz Chisholm Jr., but, you know, Ketel Marte, I think he's better than those three players maybe, but not by much. What am I missing here, Drew?
Hey, man, Luis Arraez hit a home run last night.
He sure did.
I think that the Diamondbacks are kind of hopeful that what they saw from him these last 2 years is what he's going to be for the rest of his career. Because, you know, he's been in Major League Baseball for a decade now. You know, he broke out as a rook in 2015. And then was a pretty good player over the next couple of years. And then he was finally an all-star in 2019 with the Diamondbacks with almost 7 WAR. And then it dipped again due to injury and whatnot. So, and I know how much you love these stars who seem to be a little injury-prone, Mr. Byron Buxton. We text back and forth all the time about how much you just love Byron Buxton. But no,
I have a shrine for him in that closet over there. You can't see it on the camera, but there's a shrine.
Is it a shrine or is it a voodoo little thing where you keep poking him because he keeps getting hurt?
The world may never know.
Right. These last two seasons where he's actually been healthy, played 150 games and 136 games last year, he's put up 4.9 and 6.8 WAR. He was an all-star last year. He was a silver slugger last year and finished third in MVP voting. So I think the Diamondbacks are thinking that he's finally hit his stride. Now that he's as long as he stays healthy for the extent of the season, you know, only missing fewer than 30 games last year, that he should be well worth the extension. I definitely understand the apprehension because he's a good player. He's not a elevates the lineup kind of player, but he's definitely a good player. Last year was a really good season for him. It was almost his best season, and they're kind of cashing in on that. So I think good for him, because I always like it when players cash in on good seasons, as I wear my Bengals hat. But I definitely understand the apprehension here. I think it'll work out eventually.
Yeah, I want to clarify that I'm not saying Ketel Marte is a bad, and I know you're not saying that I'm saying that, but I'm not saying that Ketel Marte is a bad player by any means. He is, again, I think he's better than Luis Arraez, Jazz Chisholm Jr., and Randy Arozarena, among others. He's not, and you said this when you were discussing it, that he's not a superstar. And I don't have a problem with players getting paid. I've made that very clear over the past few months on this podcast. I don't have a problem with players getting paid. I don't, it's the hype surrounding Ketel Marte that I don't really understand because of the injury issues that have plagued him throughout his career and the inconsistency of his play when he has been on the field. Like all-star doesn't mean much. That's more of a popularity thing. And he's been an all-star twice. Because I think other years he hasn't really qualified to be an all-star because of injuries and other guys have been better than him. But he does have 2 top 5 finishes for MVP voting, and then he won the Silver Slugger last year. But when you look at his OPS plus over the years, it's, and I'm just going to run through these really quickly, starting from 2015 through the 6 games this year, 112, 68, 88, 102, 149, 97, 143, 105, 127, 155, 133. It's a lot of, you know, ups and downs and ups and downs. It's not very consistent. And I know those numbers for all players aren't the same year after year, but consistently good players still have OPS pluses in the general vicinity of each other. And you know, his career OPS plus is 119. So he's been 19% better than league average over his career. Defensively, he's also been inconsistent. He had a very good year defensively at second base last year with 8 outs above average. And then in 2023, he had 1 out above average. But the 4 years prior to that, he had negative marks in outs above average. And he, for his career, even though he's had 9 outs above average between 2023 and 2024 and 0 so far this year, he has a total of 3 outs above average over the course of 11 seasons. So it's just, I didn't understand the hype last year surrounding him. I still don't understand the hype. I am glad he got paid. Like you said, I'm glad he got paid for what he did last year. It's just, I will never understand the hype surrounding him. And or any inconsistent player for that reason. Also looking at you, Francisco Lindor, but that it is what it is, and I'm glad that five games today, and there are 3 of them are day games. So, like I said, day games are awesome. 1:05 p.m. Eastern, Red Sox at Orioles. Tanner Houck at Charlie Morton, division matchup there to watch. Also 1:05 p.m. Eastern, Colorado Rockies at Philadelphia Phillies. Senzatella at Taiwan Walker. That's expect a lot of scoring in that game from both sides. 4:10 p.m. Eastern, Houston Astros at Minnesota Twins. Hunter Brown at Ryan. Both teams really aren't that great this year. Pitching matchup should be okay. 7:05 p.m. Eastern, D-bags at Yankees. Merrill Kelly at Carlos Carrasco. Expect a lot of scoring in that one. And then 7:40 p.m. Eastern, Cincinnati Reds at Milwaukee Brewers. Nick Lodolo at nasty Nestor Cortez. And he's only nasty because he gives up a lot of runs. Outside of the Cincinnati Reds and Milwaukee Brewers game today, which game are you most looking forward to, Drew?
The Reds and Brewers. I am definitely interested in, because I like to see runs scored. I'm definitely going to be tuned into that Rockies-Phillies game because I want to see who scores 15. I know how much you love watching Taiwan Walker pitch for your club. So who knows? Maybe one day he'll surprise you with a sub, you know, 10 ERA start. I think that'll be a fun game just because there's so few games on today. If every game is 1-0, you know, while I enjoy a good pitcher's duel, I also do enjoy watching the bats, you know, lighten it up. And I think that'll be a good one. And then, you know, obviously the Yankees can score with the best of them. The Yankees and Diamondbacks series, that's going to be a fun one to watch, especially with, I personally really love how they've standardized the scheduling and how everybody plays everybody because it does kind of level things out. Now you're not playing, you know, 30 some odd games against terrible teams. Now you're tuning it back. Now, of course, everyone gets to play the White Sox, so it kind of evens out. But other than Nick Lodolo versus Nasty Nestor, those two games are definitely on my radar.
I'm a little biased, but I'm also looking forward to watching the Phillies. But outside of that one, since I told you outside of the Reds, the Astros and Twins, really, the pitch, I'm excited. The both teams, like I said, aren't going to be great this year, but I do like that pitching matchup, and I agree, the Diamondbacks and Yankees for some scoring and seeing how Charlie Morton does in his second start of the year with the Baltimore Orioles. You know, he's got to carry a Walker out there to the mound, as old as he is, but not Taiwan Walker, a old man Walker. It's even though it's a short slate of games, they should still be entertaining. And the Reds and Brewers is one that I'm looking forward to because Nick Lodolo's on the mound, and I like me some Nick Lodolo. So good slate of games and good day of baseball, as it is always a good day when there is baseball. you're watching on YouTube, hit that subscribe button, turn on the notification icon. If you're listening on audio, leave us a 5-star rating. Share the show with your friends. Send them to firstpitchpodcast.com so they can get news, notes, and updates on all things Major League Baseball. Make sure you check out the First Pitch newsletter. Like I said earlier, today's issue talked about Rafael Devers, the Milwaukee Brewers, and Jack Leiter. It is free to subscribe, though we do appreciate any paid subscriptions as they help keep the bills on around here. We'll see y'all tomorrow. Until next time, this has been First Pitch.